Today in Carrboro is Elizabeth Cotton Day, the folk music legend born 130 years ago today, back in 1893. Carrboro Mayor Damon Siles read a proclamation earlier today making it so. He was at East Main Street in Carrboro in front of the Libba Cotton Historical Marker. Cotton was in the news again last year when she was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. She's probably best known for her song Freight Train and for inventing an entire finger-picking style on the guitar. And you can find a link to her Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction in an article on chapelboro.com. To higher ed now, where for many years publications have ranked and rated higher education institutions, saying the goal is to better inform people about the value of their education. But after several schools began declining to participate in the latest round of law school rankings by U.S. News & World Report, more people began questioning their methods. How do our local higher education leaders measure the growth and success of their students? We found out when UNC and Durham Tech visited our studio back in December. 97.9 The Hill's Brighton McConnell has more.
In November, the Yale and Harvard University Law Schools shared they would no longer provide internal data to the U.S. News & World Report's rankings. The schools, which were quickly followed by several other top institutions, pointed to how the rankings created a cycle of promoting graduate salaries, whittling down applicant pools, and accepting students based on the likelihood of them boosting their ranking status. It helped spark conversation about where prestige comes from, how schools set up graduates for success, and what the true value of an education can be. Those same conversations took place during 97.9 The Hill's recent Forum on the Hill, as UNC and Durham Technical Community College leaders discussed the local state of higher education. UNC Chancellor Kevin Guskowitz said while his university is among the top-rated schools across many lists, he believes a school's success comes back to how their students do after graduation. He said UNC is exploring different ways to measure that, but that the immediate result of earning a higher education degree is simple enough.
There's a new return on investment study that's being done to look at lifetime earnings. I'm not sure that that's the best measure of success either, but some would suggest that it is. For us, it's making sure that we're bringing in a diverse group of students that can thrive at Carolina, graduate on time, or our graduation rates are among the best in the country.
One of UNC's recent priorities has been improving its diversity and inclusion among the student body. While the campus experience cannot be directly fixed through admissions, Guskowitz said the university's variety of scholarship programs helps bring in students from a wide range of backgrounds. The chancellor also said emphasizing a broader presence and direct relationship with areas a university serves can improve who sees higher education as an option for them.
Every institution can do a better job of getting out and getting in the communities so that you have the applicant pool is more diverse, and that's the starting place. And I'm proud of some of the programs we have, our Project Uplift, our Chancellor Science Scholars Program, the Carolina Covenant Program that we have, that really helps us to use merit as the key factor in that holistic admissions process. But when you have a diverse applicant pool, the odds of all those great things happening become a reality.
UNC's consideration of racial diversity of potential incoming students recently earned national headlines as the university defended its methods at the U.S. Supreme Court. A group of Asian American applicants, represented by an organization aiming to overturn affirmative action legislation, first filed its case in 2014, but oral arguments were held for justices in November. While not directly involved in the lawsuit, Durham Tech President J.B. Buxton said he believes UNC's stance has demonstrated its commitment to diversity. Since the community college has a guaranteed admission program with Carolina, Buxton said Durham Tech is also invested in how the Chapel Hill University works to be inclusive.
In this latest case, I think it was a great reminder for us about why this partnership is so important, because we think we have an institutional partner who does exactly that. They want a student body that looks like this community. We're about 70% non-white at Durham Tech. We want our students going to a place that values their lived experience, whatever their backgrounds are.
Many universities have an additional internal resource to keep tabs on graduates, alumni associations, and donors. While Durham Tech doesn't have a formal group for its alumni, Buxton said the school has been encouraged and inspired by recent examples of graduates giving back once they find success in their fields.
We think we're growing people who feel the community support when they come through the community college, and when they come out, feel like they have to find a way to make an impact. and support people the way they were supported. And I'd say that's a hard thing to measure, but that's certainly the kind of graduate we want to produce.
Guskowitz, meanwhile, pointed to UNC's General Alumni Association as one wing of how his institution keeps in touch with its graduates. It offers programs and gatherings for those who may have left the university years ago, but the chancellor pointed to how the program helps recent graduates find stability, too.
They played a big role in helping our soon-to-be graduates throughout the pandemic in networking opportunities for students, you know, whether it was business or banking or healthcare or high-tech industry. And so we just have to continue to track that they're proud to come back to their alma mater.
You can listen to the full higher education panel from the 2022 Forum on the Hill by visiting chapelboro.com. For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Brighton McConnell.
You can also find a print version of that story by visiting chapelboro.com. More news from UNC's campus now, where another batch of buildings with lead contamination in their facilities was released. You can find an updated and complete list on chapelboro.com. Some of the noteworthy buildings from the latest batch include the Keenan Center of the Business School, Hill Alumni Center, and the Campus Y. The new year is going to bring a big decision for the town of Pittsboro, which is still in the process of hiring a new town manager, a process that's extending beyond the tenure of the current interim town manager. I spoke with town spokesperson Colby Sawyer about that impending hire and some of the other new positions Pittsboro's added in the last year.
Of course, we've added the position of a downtown development director. We've hired our first human resources director. Of course, I came onto the town this year adding that public information and emergency management function. And we are currently working through our hiring process for our town manager. Of course, Chris Kennedy left us this year. Hazen Blodgett came to work with us. Hazen has been wonderful as an interim town manager. So we will not only be hiring a new town manager permanently, but we'll also be or currently are in the process of hiring a interim town manager to replace Hazen.
That will be coming up in January. Is that when his term as interim concludes?
Yeah, that is correct. After speaking with him, I think he has enjoyed his time here in Pittsboro. But, of course, he agreed to come to us for a certain amount of time, and we can't begrudge him for wanting to get back and enjoying his retirement.
That's Pittsboro Town spokesperson Colby Sawyer speaking there. You can listen back to that full conversation in the News on the Hill section of chapelboro.com. In Orange County now, we're down to just a couple days left to apply for the open Orange County Commissioner seat. You can find that application on the county website, orangecountync.gov. Applications are due by Friday at 5 o'clock. In some state news now, Business Facilities Magazine has named North Carolina as the state of the year for economic development. This comes after over 28,000 new jobs were announced in the state during 2022. And the News and Observer did some very good reporting on new rules for short-term rentals in Chapel Hill. You now have to get a zoning compliance permit in order to list your Chapel Hill home on short-term rental sites like Airbnb. Again, you can find that full story over at the News and Observer. And you can head to chapelboro.com for even more local news, including a story about 16 doors being stolen from a construction site in Hillsboro. Time now for sports, and we begin by talking basketball because there was some good basketball to talk about last night. UNC men's team was in a tight matchup with Wake Forest, and then they pulled away with blistering hot shooting in the second half. Team shot 60% from the floor in the second half, and that'll turn a close game into a not close game pretty quickly most times. They ended up winning the game 88-79, got career highs from Leaky Black and Seth Trimble. Leaky with 18, Trimble with 11. Trimble also credited with holding Wake's leading scorer, Tyree Appleby, in check. Here's Coach Davis with his thoughts after the game.
You know, one of the things that we've talked about is that for us to be successful, we just got to dig deeper. You know, it's just, you know, find the joy in how hard it is to be the best that you can be individually and as a team. And it's just going to be difficult at times. You're going to be met with adversity. And so in those times, you have to be connected to the discipline and the details, the things that we talk about and we drill and practice every day. And, you know, with your effort and energy and enthusiasm, you have to dig deeper. And our guys did that, you know, with Pete being injured basically as the game started and, you know, having guys like Jalen Washington and Justin McCoy get extended time and just step up and be huge. And Seth was fantastic defensively, attacking a basket and scoring. And RJ and Caleb and Leakey. And Wake Forest is such a good basketball team, and this was a really important game for us, and I just was really proud of them.
That's Coach Hubert Davis speaking there. Heels are back in action this Saturday, hosting Notre Dame, and it is a bit of a wonky start time for this one. 11:30 a.m. tip-off on Saturday. Women's teams in action tonight. In fact, they're probably getting warmed up right now, as tip-off for that one is 6 o'clock. We will be getting you over to that action just prior to them throwing up the ball there. We usually get in there right in time for starting lineups right at 6 o'clock. So stay tuned for that coming up after News on the Hill. Women will be playing Miami, who has struggled record-wise. They're 8-6 on the year, but they come into the game looking pretty good. They beat Pitt on Sunday, and last week just barely lost to fifth-ranked Notre Dame. Again, 6 o'clock tip time. We'll get you over there as soon as we wrap up News on the Hill in just a little bit. Elsewhere in sports, lots of basketball players got some honors announced yesterday. Armando Bacot and Caleb Love are among the 25 players on the watch list for the John Wooden Award, which goes to the National Player of the Year. And we also had Deja Kelly make that list on the women's side. And in field hockey, Carolina legend Aaron Mattson is a finalist for the Honda Sport Award, which also goes to the National Player of the Year. Mattson won that award back in 2019 and 2020.